Man, this.
How did he meet OJ? That's
Hold
all
up. This dude, this is how we're going to start the episode. Someone just, one just sent us a wildly uncomfortable wrestling video and then says, "Hey, ever tell about the time our friend met OJ? Like, you can't do that off mic, man. Like, that has to happen. That has to happen live. What the fuck is wrong with you?"
I'll tell the story that he told me
Please
because
do. Please do.
so this was after the trial and everything like that. There's a fan. I want to say it had to be. I think he said it was correct. It was maybe a year after the trial, maybe 6 months to a year after the trial. Let's put it in that time frame.
Okay,
There's
so
a
this is still
fancy,
murderous OJ.
yes. There's a fancy hotel down here called the Biltmore. My friend's a white guy. His name's James. Jimmy. I want to give his last name because he might hear
Yeah,
it.
wow, you're a Social Security two
But
five
yeah,
nine.
but I'll just say this. His last name is very Greek. So they go to this dinner party at the Biltmore Hotel. I think it's for like a golf tournament or something like that. Nothing but white people there, of course. OJ Simpson walks in. Right? Everybody's like uneasy because it's OJ, you know, white people like, why is he here? And it's in Coral Gables, which is a high class area in Florida and stuff like that. So obviously, and I think at the time he lived in Coral Gables at a point in time. So it's dinner party happening. All of a sudden, I want to say it was for a wedding because this is where it gets funny. It's for a wedding or something such like that. But the point is, oh, there's a cake there. So OJ takes it upon himself to go grab the knife and say, anybody want a slice of this cake? And hold the knife up. And everybody look at him like, nah, we good.
No.
My man was like, this was one of the most awkward moments he's ever seen because OJ's just waving around this big ass cake knife and he's like, anybody wants one of this cake? And they're like, nah, we good.
Yeah, I mean, what is like, what do you?
You cut that
He's like,
slice up,
listen,
juice.
he's like, I'm really good at cutting cakes. Someone got some gloves for me? Like,
He was
what?
just right there, just my friend said he was just over there just trying to cut the cake, and they kept telling him, no, stop.
That's universally in the room. You know what everyone is thinking. When he picks up a knife, they're all, oh, shit. Damn, yeah, man. You can't, I mean, innocent, guilty, whatever it is, you can't juice. You can't be doing that.
You can't do
Cannot.
that.
You lost knife privileges.
You can't be in a room full of white people like, hey, let me pick up this knife.
Or
No.
the illest with a knife ever there was, and we must put respect on
That's true
him.
too. Yeah. Wow. Fucking shit, man. You know?
Y'all been listening to that podcast, My Mama Told Me.
No, I've never heard of it.
So
No, I've been.
it's a podcast hosted by his comedian Langston Kerman, and it's about black conspiracy theories.
Oh, I need to
Well,
hear
let's
this.
pause real
Oh, so,
quick. Langston Kerman is one of the
yeah.
blackest names I've ever heard. Like,
That
that's a
sound
real
like
one. That's a real one.
that
That
sound like a Muppet character.
he was born 72. Like,
No. He wild. He younger than all of us. He younger than all of us.
Langston
not with
Kermit.
that name.
That's
Not
his
with that
name.
name. Yeah,
That don't
Langston
sound like a
Kerman.
Muppet character. Like he's the cousin of Kermit the
You
Frog.
just hear Kerman and think Kermit.
Like
Yes,
the black cousin of Kermit the Frog.
Well, they did an episode about
Comes in all jazzy.
they did they did an episode about the OJ murder situation, and their theory was that sounded pretty decent when you listen to it. It's like it wasn't OJ who did it; it was his son. I've
Oh
been
yeah,
hearing
that's the
that.
big theory for sure, is that the son did it and then OJ was like covering for him. That's why he was the distraction in the Bronco as the son's like timeline was doing something else.
So that's a
Yeah,
that's
that's
also
kind of wild.
that's a dope podcast. So my mama told me.
I'm gonna have to check it
I feel
out.
like it might be on iHeart. It might be on they situation.
What
But
was it,
yeah,
exclusive?
no. I'm just saying no. You just listen to it on wherever. Just download it. I'm just saying. I just want to. We always try to show the podcast networks they love. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you y'all a question before we get to anything deep. I have a legit question because I'm curious. I think I'm about to get rid of Apple Podcasts. I'm about to
Oh,
go
the app
something
is
else.
terrible.
It is fucking whack.
How are y'all using Apple Podcasts in 2023, baby?
Because
They
I'm
just made
lazy
native
as
app.
fuck.
I have been using since I was on Android one app and one app only. It's called Downcast. It is excellent. It is the championship podcast app. It might cost money now, but I feel like if it do, it's like $2. Mm-hmm. Go get you Downcast. It is the best podcasting app. I've used it for I'm forever since my Android days, and I've been on iPhone since iPhone 4S. So even before then, that this app has been around. And it works like a champ, man. I never use Apple Podcasts. I go to Apple Podcasts to listen to a few minutes of my podcast each week just so I can make sure them Apple numbers is doing what they do.
Man, when I tell you Apple Podcasts is messing up, I'll be listening to podcasts and all of a sudden it'll jump from like minute 5 to minute 45. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, no, not even that. Not even that. I'll listen to shows and be like a full like hour in. And then it's like back to minute 17.
Yes.
I'm like, what the fuck?
It drives
fuck?
Me crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it no more. The only reason why I haven't really got rid of it is because I don't want to migrate all my shows over there that I listen to.
Yeah. But you know what? Now that, because I was going to like post something the other day to be like, okay, I'm done. Like, besides the skipping issue, also the, I could be listening to a podcast. Not even walking, like I am stationary, and then all of a sudden it stops, and it's like, this podcast cannot be played or file cam. And I'm like, no, I've been listening for an hour. What the fuck are you talking about? And it's just like, nah, you can't do this. Also, I think it is racist because 99% of the time, you know what it happens when I'm listening to the read? It's like, nope. This is we don't do this one here. So. I think that's also the conspiracy. But I was going to post something the other day to be like, hey, what does everyone use as their podcast apps? Because I am over it. So you're saying Downcast.
Yeah, Downcast. It looks like, imagine the letter D with the Wi-Fi signals popping off the D onto the right. It's red background, white lettering, just in case. Okay.
I got to make the migration. But you know what? It might be time too, because my library is also so over the years of just collecting so many different podcasts that I might need to just purge it.
You know what? It's something I actually do every now and then. I just go through and clean up what's going on in my podcast game. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, you ain't made a new episode in X amount of years or whatever. So I'm going to drop it in the. At least
app. I'm looking at it right now, and that's right. I forgot I tried Overcast for a minute.
But that was Overcast.
I don't, you know, it was so many years ago, I don't even remember. Yeah, and Downcast is like $2.99 now, but yeah, for sure. That shit is annoying, like, it's just so like, fucking drives me nuts now.
Yeah,
so
I don't like
and that. I only listen to podcasts on my phone, so it's not like I need to have a Apple type app to go across my devices. Like,
yeah,
I only listen to podcasts in one place. But I think we'll just stick with Delvin right now. And you know, for everyone listening, even though we're a few minutes in, welcome everybody to this new episode of Cadillac on Mars. You got me, Chalvy, you got my homie T, you got my buddy Delvin. We're just kind of kicking it, you know, you usually do just cut up. We're going to try to structure things out a little bit more, a little bit better this time, you know, as we usually do, but still just a lot of fucking around. I mean, that's just what it is. Just some homies kicking and chilling. So Delvin, let's start off with like, what's up with you, man? What you been up to?
Man, it's
besides been... telling OJ stories and doing white people roast.
And it's been a busy, crazy few weeks, man.
Yeah.
Like a lot's been going on. Like I've been on a lot of pie. It's like, I feel like since I like healed from being sick and like damn near dying, I've just been doing a lot of podcasts, maybe too many.
You know what? The people want Delvin. People love Fox. Maybe in quotes.
I've been doing too many podcasts. It's like, so I'm drained. And but all along, everything's been good. I think you know, I'm still back out there as I talked on T's podcast a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a month now, about me being in the dating game, so I'm doing that. You know, I had went to the Boyz II Men concert. Boyz II Men is an interesting concert to go to, and I can without getting into the whole concert, I can bring this discussion up to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened at the concert that I thought was really interesting. I only think it can happen for a group like Boyz II Men.
Okay.
One, the concert was only like an hour and 30 minutes long.
Okay.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. Like, you know, we got in at, I think it started at 8:15.
Wait, the whole from beginning to end?
Yes. That was it.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I thought you just meant them performing. I was like, no. that's standard.
Were there openers?
No.
Oh, so it was just them.
It was just them.
Solid. Okay. 90 minutes, perfect shot. Perfect set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it at all. It was great. You know, we got in at 8. I think we was leaving at 9:30.
That is
what's up. You get home before 10?
That is grown men saying,
yes. Come on, man. I'm trying to hear where the complaint is right now.
It was perfect because the concert was way in West Palm Beach, was an hour away from me. Oof. Mm-hmm. So originally I'm thinking I'm not going to leave till 11 o'clock then, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not going to get home till like 1 o'clock in the morning probably at best.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. That was great.
You went to bed on time.
Right.
No, I got to. That's a whole other
story. He had to go home and do a podcast. What are you talking about?
No, that ain't what happened.
Oh, man.
It was a whole other podcast on the phone.
You didn't get some tender loving?
No. It was an argument.
But
I digress.
You got to cut your losses, my man.
I'm like saying, it ain't nobody you should be arguing with right now. Everybody should be clear right now.
Yeah, you should have been like, did we not, who, like, remember Method Man in Garden State? Like, when he's like, who saw some titties? Like, come on, why are we fighting here? You got to be like, who just saw Boyz II Men? Like, come on. Yeah, we should exactly. All, you know what? Should be singing End of the Road right now. Relax.
So the interesting thing about it was this. And because me and the girl got into a debate when the show first started, because I noticed, and she noticed too, there were a lot of white people there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like,
the majority she was thinking, of the audience.
Yeah, like 60%. And she was like, I didn't expect to be this many white people there. I'm like, why not? Boyz II Men are like a 5-time Grammy winning group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and they make music that while us brothers and sisters love it, white people love it just as much as we do.
Yeah.
I say, you know who they're not doing this for? Jodeci.
like yes.
You know, they're not doing this for Jodeci and New Edition. They're doing this for Boyz II Men. She's like, you think so? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I say Casey and JoJo, maybe. But ain't
nobody. And I'll say this too. White people stick to their music as well.
Yes.
They're like, if this shit went off when I was in seventh grade, guess what I'm listening to at 45?
Exactly. an element of it was very beautiful because, you know, watching them perform, like for example, it was true diversity in terms of like, okay, in front of us was a gay couple, two gay white men, and they were dancing, having a blast. On the right of me was a white girl and her mom. And like a white girl was probably like my age, her mom was like 67. They were dancing and having a blast. Behind me, full row of black people. Like the whole row. And it's like a pretty decent sized thing. And on the other side of me was like a Spanish couple. So like all around us, it was like diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my point to this. Because I haven't seen people do this in this kind of field. Boyz II Men, right? Okay, they first started off with like Motown Philly. That's my shit. So I was hype. Then they started playing like I'll Make Love to You. They start out with some of their hits. And then in the middle of their set, they said, you know what we finna do? We finna do covers.
Ooh.
And they just started doing covers of a bunch of white songs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was. See, now you get where I'm coming at, bro. With it.
When you say white songs, like, because that's broad. That's
examples.
Broad. Yeah.
Like Bon Jovi, stuff like that.
Which one? Which Bon Jovi track?
I'm trying to think what song it was.
Living on a Prayer?
No.
Hmm.
The other one. But they did like a. They did like
you give love a bad name?
That was one of them.
Okay.
But they were doing like a whole bunch of like popular white songs. And then they did like a Bruno Mars song.
Okay.
Ain't he Filipino?
Yeah.
All right, we letting him, he get a walk.
Yeah, but the thing is, Boyz II Men has hits.
Well, that's, yeah. I was just about to say that. If Boyz II, okay, here's what I'm going to say. And then I'll bring it back around because I agree 100% with Delvin. If this was a Boys to Men cover band, then I could see the cover band doing also other covers.
Yes.
You know, just to show we do other shit. You know, you got hired for a wedding, whatever. But Boys to Men has a fucking catalog where they could easily do 90 minutes. These fuckers could do 90 minutes on probably three songs because they will stretch it out with like an orchestral section and
exactly.
fucking freestyling. And then you'll be like, wait, was that just Motown Philly for like 45 minutes? Yes. You know,
and that was my thing. It was like, we got like, let's say 40 minutes of their actual songs and another maybe 20, 40, 30 minutes of covers. So it's like, huh, I would have wanted to hear the other hits you guys had.
Yeah. Did they do an encore?
No.
Okay, because then I was going to say that I've also seen like very popular bands do their main set, go off stage, do an encore, come on back, and do a couple covers and be like, oh shit, fucking Weezer's doing a cover of Van Halen, you know, like that aspect, yes, but no, that's just weird. Yeah, you didn't see them like at a, are you, number one, are you sure it was not B-O-I-Z?
No,
it was T-O-O, men? Like, was, are you sure it was the right one?
It was Boys and Men. The only caveat is, you know, Michael McCary is not in the group no
all
more.
Treble. All
yeah,
men in trouble
yeah,
now.
That, yeah, yeah.
It's all trouble now, so it's kind of
do they have a stand-in?
To do the Michael McCary parts?
Yeah.
No, but Nate Morris does some of them because he has a kind of a deep voice too. Not as deep as Michael, but he has a kind of a deep voice too.
Yeah.
It kind of works. But like, it was just weird that like a lot of those hit songs they didn't play.
Yeah. That's kind of
like
crazy.
It was like a great portion of it. And then one of the ones that kind of puzzled me even more was they did One Sweet Day.
Without Mariah.
Without Mariah.
Yeah,
and then, but this is the weird thing about it. The audience had to be Mariah. like, yo, why am I singing One Sweet Day with you? Y'all don't pay me for this.
Weird. That's weird. You're but you know what? You know why? Because they're old. They're like, they got to get the audience participation. Because when you're singing, guess what they're not doing? They're not singing because they're catching their breath. They're like, listen, I'm old as fuck out here shaking my ass. Fucking ankles hurt. My hips hurt. And I'm singing. Mm-mm.
I got to tell you. out of all the songs to ask for audience participation in, that ain't it.
No, it is not.
That's not the one.
Because none of y'all was Mariah. True.
Yes, and most of the audience didn't know the lyrics.
No. Well, I was about to say, too, and if you're getting all these white ladies out there all wind up, man, they're going to try to hit the Mariah notes, and it's not going to be pretty.
It's rough.
Mm-mm.
It's rough. Really rough.
Oh, boy. All the dogs in the neighborhood are like...
It was a great show. I just wish they would have did more of their songs.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you go see them, right?
Yeah.
For them to do their shit.
I think what I think happened, and I think this is pretty accurate. I remember they had like a residency in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
I think they just did their Vegas set. That's what it seems like to me.
Okay.
Which probably would have like, a bunch of covers. Because Vegas is definitely, if that show was, you know, X amount of white people, the Vegas show is like,
yeah, no, hearing
like
you 90% say that,
white people.
Then that makes total sense. I bet if you, because you can Google set list, if you Google the Vegas set list, more than likely, then that's what you got. So, because they already have that set list dialed in, that they're like, oh, we don't need to do other shit. We just do this. Because in Vegas, you have to grab a wider band of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
American Woman. That's one of the songs they sung.
Really?
Stay away from me. Yeah, I mean, it's Lenny. I can get down with that. Do they harmonize or they do a boy? Do they do them in a Boys to Men style?
No.
Well, I was going to say, because who originally did American Woman? I can't remember right now. But like, did they do the 70s rock style or the Lenny Kravitz style?
Which 70s rock style.
Okay. But yeah, that's weird, dude. What a fucking odd choice of words. Did they also do like "Proud to Be an American" too? Like, what the fuck?
They did a couple of joints. That I'm like, this is cool to see Boys and Men do it, but
kind of weird.
Yeah, kind of weird.
It's by the Canadian rock band Guess Who.
The Guess Who. That's right. Okay. Huh. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, that's super weird, man. That's super weird. don't know. Wild, wild. But
I've had a
well, I
weird
mean,
week.
so that's like only like your like second, third concert.
I think it's my second. I don't know if you count club performances as concerts. I won't count those as concerts.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, if you
Yeah,
do,
you
if you
have
count
to.
those as concerts, then it's my fourth or fifth. Because I've
Yeah.
seen Slick Rick perform, I've
Nice.
seen Scarface perform.
Damn.
Excellent.
Nice.
And I, because I used to go to Club Level a
And
lot.
then you went to the Bad Boy show, right?
Went to the
Isn't that
Bad
what you
Boy
did?
reunion tour. This is definitely my first R&B concert I went to. Because I've never been to R&B one, but most of the stuff I've seen were like hip hop shows. There's one more person I saw perform live. I can't remember who it is. Damn it, who was it? It's another rapper.
Goldcoin Legacy.
Well, I've performed live before. No. It was somebody
Let me
else.
just shout out Donnie right now. Release the tapes. The streets need them. Come on. Man, can you believe this fucker T? Like, he's got files. He's just holding on.
It's
Like,
funny y'all should mention that. My homeboy who was in the group actually almost died this week.
wow.
Like literally, like legit almost died. He works like well, he still raps too, but he works like I guess like drive like forklift driver and stuff like that. And one of those big ass, you know, those not pallets, the round things, the
The
big round
drums?
the drum cylinders, fucking
Yeah.
fell on him.
Damn.
Yeah.
So did he get broken bones, or was he like
Broke.
fucking
I think he said he broke his ribs. He had a concussion. And he split his lip like that, like a cool ass car. Like, God damn.
Damn. I was gonna say, or was he like homeboy from Marvel who got ran over by the snowcat or whatever? What did he break, like 33 bones?
Yeah, he was
You
real
talking about
racked up too.
yeah,
Jeremy
you got
Renner.
to yeah, Jeremy
Yeah.
Renner. Yeah. I
Damn,
mean,
that's
how was
crazy.
damn, how was Florida's workman's comp? Because fuck.
Yeah. That's what I
He
asked
got
him. Like,
rocked.
you gonna be good? Like
Yeah. Well, I mean, you might just need to release the tapes just for a GoFundMe for your homeboy. Be like, listen, you know what? Come on. Come on. The streets is calling. You know? You could have been on the Grammy 50th reunion. That could have been you.
know what?
But no.
I tell you what, he's on Twitter because he used to host the Mic Drop podcast with me. I should just tell everybody, just message him and say, hey, we want to hear some of y'all old shit. I'm
Yeah.
quite sure he will oblige.
Oblige.
Yes, I'm quite sure he has DAT tapes and shit like that with it on it.
Well, we need it. We need it. How about you, T? What you been up to, man?
It's a boring life, man. It's been real chill vibes, nothing to it. It's been cold, like cold, which because you know it's winter in the north. So I mean, come on, bruv.
Man,
So
speaking, but hold on. It ain't that boring. And keeping it on the winter tip, I heard your kids went to winter formal. That shit was beautiful.
indeed. So you know, Xander, who's all graduated now, his lady's still in school. This is her last year. And so he gets to go to all these events one more time. And I had to laugh because I'm like, bro, I can't believe you have to go through this shit again. But he seems to be very relaxed about it. So I'm like, that's cool. At least it's all just vibes. And so yeah, the boys both went to winter formal this weekend. And like I said, I that's always at this point, it's just like it ain't nothing to his later was gone. And Lee was like, all right, drop me off and I'll holler at you when you gotta come get me. And like, fair enough. That is what I am. I am the chauffeur and I understand it. So
Now,
it is.
did I see, because I was kind of skimming and I never went back. Did Lee, right?
Yes.
Did Lee get license?
Got his learner's permit. Indeed,
Oh,
he
learn
did.
from okay.
I was gonna say that for our little segment.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Hey, pause, time out. We'll get to that one a little bit later. All right, well, let's get back to
For
you.
sure.
What's
Because
going around the crib?
that has some comedy in it that you will not believe. But like I
Oh,
said,
really?
crib wise, everything's just vibes, man. It's every, and it's stuff we'll get to most of it eventually anyway. I'm in currently in the midst of editing a podcast. I need all y'all motherfuckers' recordings. So, you know, I
Man.
already know you working hard. You get a you get you you get you get the walk you
I
get
was
the
like,
walk, Delvin.
best you
I
get from me
know.
is that goddamn
Delvin get the walk. Your punk ass could just do it at the after as we after we finish this, just hack it on to the end of it, take it out and send it to me. I'm not gonna lie, man.
I am.
Trust you have enough exist a life going on right now that
Yes.
I understand. So, and it's no rush.
I thoroughly enjoy listening to that show.
Yeah.
And
Oh,
I
so
literally
good.
get one of the few things I get excited when you say, hey, record. This one was fucking hard. I'm not gonna lie. But But I like get excited to like record for that.
Yeah,
I enjoy it.
So
yeah, you see, and like to do a list like that, because the topic is songs under 3 minutes, right?
Correct.
And since I do still listen to a lot of rock, and in particular a lot of like punk, or variants of it, a lot of those songs are like under 2 minutes.
Yep.
So it's just like this, very, very easy. But something, and I've actually been meaning to mention this many times, like I am very envious of guys like you, people like you guys, who I am not very good at cataloging knowledge, like to deconstruct something in a way. Like I can tell you how a song makes me feel, but to give the history or the background or any, like, you know, you guys will talk about music or even comics or things like that, and you say, yeah, but this also came out, or that was another thing. I'm always like, fucking brilliant. Because if you ask me, I'm like, that song's really good. That's it.
You know, it's kind of just like certain things define your era. So it kind of just melts in your head. And you're like, oh, I remember when this came out. Like, I remember when It's Dark as Hell Hot came out. That etched in my memory.
Yeah.
Certain things, and this is, and what I'm going to say is no shade at all. I've never been 100% something. So I'm not saying you guys are like 100% one thing, but it's like, I've never been so fully like into a thing that it's like, I've like fully immersed in a sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I always kind of like liken it to like barbershop talk. Like when the guys are sitting around talking the sports and kicking stats and they should have did this and that. I'm always like, yeah, he could throw a ball, right? Like I'm the fucking worst at that diet. I don't have it, you know. Just so I'm envious of you guys, because when I hear you guys chop it up or shit like that, like that podcast, that was like fucking awesome. That was an education for me, because like I said, it's not something I latch on to. So I'm looking forward to this next one.
Yeah. So it's in process, and I started editing this weekend with the intention of just laying some tracks and lining stuff up. That's literally all I was going to do. And as soon as I got started, I was like, let's start dropping in tracks. So it started becoming the actual edit that that'll end up being. I just have to chuckle that I can't even help myself when it comes to that show. It's music, man. I love it. And I love talking about it. And so even that one, like I said, that's not that Anthony picked that one. So he handled most of the duties on that particular episode. So it's like, I didn't even have to really write too much of an intro, but I did have, I pulled some articles discussing, you know, some stuff, and like I'll throw that'll be in the show notes. But also, I just got to sit and say this song, this long, this when it came out, blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. This is dope, man. It is proving to be, as always, a delight. That show is about quarterly, you know what I'm saying, or every couple of months or something like that, because it is some effort, and because it's that much effort, it takes whatever. That's why I try to give y'all like a pretty wide heads up, like, all right, this is what I want from you, this is what I think, this is what I need out of you, and this is how much time you seem to have. So
yeah,
it all did. Nice. But man, I swear, man, like otherwise it's stuff that we're going to get to in other sections of this program. So
yeah,
life is good, the lady's good, the kids is good, man, my folk is good, the show's going well. No whatever, but we basically lost a man on scam, and I'm saying I'm not gonna put whatever off it. I mean, you'll notice that my man's been missing, but
got a little bit of a change.
Yeah, he and I had a good conversation recently about all of this, and we hope he'll be on the right path, and we keep motherfucking moving, man. It's okay. So Skim is like a 3-man group at this point, and that's just what it is. And Anthony was real specific about it. He's like, look, going forward, it's us three, and that's it. And I'm like, fair enough. I will allow you to set those parameters, and that's just what it is. So we'll be 10 years old this year, bruh, in May. Wow,
that's so impressive.
Nice.
Yeah, and so I'm excited about that. I got to get a logo made for our birthday, and I keep saying to do it. And I should have it done probably now, because that way I can have it, you know, percolate and go everywhere it needs to go before then. And so I need to get on that, but it's all to the good, man. I am considering maybe going to PAX East this year. I ain't been. Back. I hadn't
oh,
been. I hadn't been since before the pandemic, and I love it. I love Boston, but I'm like, and then I just saw like a pretty cool panel, and I'm like, I only have to go the whole 4 days. I could just go a day, go kick it in Boston. But I don't know. I can't go. My kid wants to go to New York for his 16th birthday. He'll be 16 this year. My youngest, and I'm like, I should probably just focus on that. I still kind of want to go.
When does it take place?
PAX East is, I feel like it is in April this year, but
that's right around the corner.
I know. It might be March, so don't take my gospel for it. PAX East is March, March 23rd through 26th.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, then we might need to talk PAX next year for the three of us.
Hey, I'm down for some.
Because I can make it a 3 day weekend type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Catch the vibe. Okay. Yeah. Let's iron that out.
Oh, my lady's in a film festival. She's done a pandemic version of this film festival the last couple of years. Uh-huh. But this year we're doing it in person. So we'll be going to Pittsburgh early in March, early next month.
Oh, right.
And so it's dope because they take her film, they project the film, but they have a band come and play live music over her movie.
Oh, shit.
That's dope.
So that's amazing. That's how they, so it's called sync. You know what I'm saying? You're syncing up the movie to the audio.
Yeah.
We get to go do it in person, do it live. And I'm pretty excited to see her movie on the big screen.
And when she does her projects, does she do them? Is it all single person? Like she's working the whole thing? Does she have like a network of homies she works with, or so,
like these are just little shorty films that she does almost exclusively on her phone? Like almost everything she does to it. And so she has all the people she went to film school with. A lot of them still in Pittsburgh. So we're gonna meet up with a bunch of these people next month. So that'll be fun too, to kind of sit and shoot the shit. So maybe, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I like that it keeps that particular iron in the fire for her. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
That's dope.
Yeah, she always wanted to be a filmmaker, and sometimes she gets to do that, you know? And I'm like,
dope. Yeah. And you got to keep that that creativity alive, you know? And if that's her outlet, like, shit. Like, for sure, you got to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then on my end, I'm trying to remember. We recorded in January. Let's see. Since we've been back, Lucy's birthday, my daughter's birthday. She turned 11. Let me tell you about Lucy. She is over here living a full 22-year-old's life. This girl, California, is,
man, Cali girl,
is way different. Like she is out in these streets all the time. So we went to this place called John's Incredible Pizza, and it's a fun spot. It's like Chuck E. Cheese, you know, it's got all the games and arcades and rides and shit, but then it's like a pizza buffet type of place. You know, it's just awesome. They also have this crazy ass pizza that's like one of my favorite pizzas. It's a spicy peanut butter pizza, and it sounds terrible, and then you eat it.
Yes, like, it does.
Oh, this fucking works, man.
It's like a Thai pizza at that point, right?
It's like a Thai pizza. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it still has the peanut butteriness, but it is like a little on the spicier end. It's still good.
So the peanut butter is the like the sauce?
Is the marinara. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it, like I said, it fucking works. But so we did that with her friends. And then it's like every weekend she's got something lined up. She just came back from Palm Springs, like stayed at some resort with one of her homegirls. Fucking sending pictures of her drinking like virgin pina coladas by the
mocktails.
Pool.
Mocktails. Dope.
I'm like, what the fuck, man? And like right now she's out doing her folklorico. This girl is never home and is just constantly like out in these streets all the time. And I'm like, grown adults don't live this much life.
That's because they got to pay for it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know? But she's out here like, hey, we're going to go to Palm Springs. I'm like, the fuck you talking about? So my daughter's really something else. She's out here jet setting and shit, and I'm just like, and she has a large group of girlfriends too, so it's just constant invites all the time. This one wants to go here, this one wants to do that thing. And then the girls, for the most part, they're a good group of girls. They just are like, so there really is an issue when a parent is like, oh, I'm gonna take this one or that one's gonna go. It's just like, yeah, fuck, fine, you know, no big deal. But that's been really, really huge. And then we bit the bullet and we got another pug. We got an all black one this time, and her name is Wednesday, and she's a whole fucking weirdo. Her name is Wednesday, but I refer to her as Lil Derpy, because I'll post a picture of her on Instagram. She's a derpy looking motherfucker. Do you guys remember Syphil and Ollie, the sock puppets?
Yes.
The black one, I can't remember which one was Syphil and which one was Ollie. But you know, like sock puppet, the face is kind of like flat, pointy. Like that's what her head is like. And then one eye, I also do call her Biggie Smalls from time to time, because one eye is just like the other way. She's got like a fucked up rib that kind of sticks out. Like this girl.
Pugs be built different.
Right? Hey, they are. No, hey, there is a difference in different. Pugs are built different. True. Yeah. This one was built incorrectly. Someone said, you know what? Hey, who cares if the manual's in Japanese? I'm going to figure it out. No worry. And then they're like, wow, I got a lot of extra parts. Just this dog is fucked up.
Oh my god.
But so she's new to our household, so that's been exciting. Just kind of, and she's older, so she's a rescue.
Okay.
He's two, whereas our other dog Sunday is just barely like 10 months. So it is kind of interesting getting a dog that's a little bit older, though she is smaller than the pug we already had. But she's nice. She's kind of fun.
I feel like you just missed out that you should have named one of the pugs Pugly.
Yeah, well, if it was a boy, probably. But like I said, this one, Wednesday, not because one to go with the other one is Sunday, as in Sunday Girl from the Blondie song. This one's Wednesday for Wednesday Adams. Actually, her middle name, because she has the fucked up rib, is Wednesday McRib. So
that dog will hate y'all. If dogs understand English,
that dog is not going to give a shit. It's just like, all right, yeah, cool. McRib, you funny.
Right.
I'm gonna bite the shit out you, slugging right, a chance.
Not this dog, because let me tell you, number one, she's a fucking escape artist, and she's been probably bouncing homes and out in the streets. So she's like, listen, hey, you call me what you want, but I'm gonna tell you, I'm calling myself to this bed over here. And these three squares I get every day, freedom in the backyard, I'm good. Like, call me what you want. I'm living. So she's as happy as a clam. So she's good. But so that's been really nice. And then, you know, just doing what I usually do, just, you know, fucking working hard, trying to keep shit together, and then hitting up some concerts and doing some fun things like that, which kind of gets me into our next sort of like segment I want to sort of blend in. Because days are stressful, man. Like, there's always a lot of fucking drama and day-to-day. And it's like, I want to highlight some of, like, positives in our day. Like, this is a good thing. So I really want to bring in a segment called The Happy Meal. And so the Happy Meal is like, you know, just what's something you want to highlight recently? And so I'll kind of go first in this. You guys know I love to go to concerts, right? Like, that's, like, my highlight. And I've really, really been wanting to see this band for the longest, called Death Heaven. And they are like they're called like, I think it's called like Death Gaze or something like that. They're like a metal band, but they're sort of like a shoegazy, sort of a little bit gothy in there, you know? But they're fucking awesome. Just great music. I had tickets to see them in April of 2020. Guess what I couldn't do? See them. So yeah. Since then until, and actually I saw a little bit of them when I took my daughter to that festival like sometime last year, but even their set was fucked up and they only got to play like two songs because there was all kinds of technical issues. And I was like, God damn, I'm never going to see this band. And then tickets went on sale to go see them at this place where I was originally going to see them, which is called the Lodge Room in Highland Park out here in Southern California. And I love this venue. Like it's not a very big venue. Like it's maybe the size, if you can imagine like this, what in your head is the size of like a school cafeteria, it's like that big. It's not very big.
Really small.
And then it sounds great. It actually has steps on like one level off to the side, which I love too, because I'm fucking short. So then I'm like, whoop, and I can just see overheads. I'm like, fucking awesome. You know? So
that's great.
Went So I went to the show and it was like the perfect, like, wow, this is great. Usually it takes me maybe like an hour to get there. There was no fucking traffic. I was there like in 35 minutes. I was like, great. Boom. Find parking. Awesome. Then get into the show and I was like, usually first band, and I have a method to my madness. I buy my merch early and then I sit and have like two drinks or so. And then main band starts. I go in, boom, I'm good. And, but right behind the lodge room is this place called the Checkered Hall. And it's just a very narrow sort of restaurant bar, like a couple booths, a couple tables, but the main bar is in the middle. And so I sat there and had some drinks and I was kind of chatting up with a bartender. No lie, the best hands down cocktails I ever had in my life. And so I was chatting up with the bartender and I was just like, man, this is delicious. That was great. And so then I was like, okay, now what if I want something like this? And so then he's like, you know what? Tell me what you like. I will make it for you. He's like, because you had this. No, we're good. Like, boom. So he made me his own craft drink. And I was like, fucking delicious. And so I was just complimenting. I was like, dude, your hand on making cocktails is amazing. And then I was like, let me tell you, I've had a lot of cocktails over my life. And if your cocktails suck, I would have been ordering like vodka tonics all night. I was like, but this is dialed in. So then he was very like appreciative where he was like, listen, he handed me like two like poker chips, which I was like, damn, is he trying to tell me to go into AA? Like you're about to give me the 12 steps right now. But they were like two free drinks. And so I was like, he's like, next time you come through, you got two drinks on me. And I was like, oh, dude, that's
Yeah.
awesome. And then
Great.
he's like, hey, and by the way, he's like, only pay for the first drink. He's like, I'm only charging you for the first one. The other two, they're on me. And I was like, dude, you don't got to do that. Like, I will pay you. Like, you put in the work. I don't want to be taking money out of your pocket. And he's like, no. He's like, it's very rare that I feel someone like genuinely compliments my work. He's like, and I do love this. He's like, so he's like, the way you were kind of breaking it down, he's like, you knew what you were talking about. And I was like, yeah, your drinks are fucking dialed in. So he's like, so those two are on me and your future two are on me. So I ordered three drinks. I paid for one, came out with four free. I was like,
Fuck
yes,
yeah.
this is awesome. And then got into the show. Fucking show was great. It was like super amazing. It was everything I expected. They had an album I've been wanting of theirs that's like super expensive on Discogs, and they had the color vinyl version that I've been wanting, and it was like $25. So I was like, yes,
Oh.
score. So it was like everything that went right, that should have went right. No bumps that evening, and even coming home again, no traffic. I was good, and it was one of those things where like in that moment, and then I ended up d being like in front of the stage, and I was just like, life ain't that bad. You
That's
know,
dope.
like I came here, I had drinks, I had a great time going back to March 2020. And now, yeah, it took a few years to get here, but it's not that bad. You know, like I still have the freedom to go to a show. I just had an all around new experience. I just had these cocktails that were so good. I just met this bartender that was like, hey, my name is Ben. Next time you come through, you look for me. I got you. You know, we were like, it was just like a great moment. And it's like, you know, sometimes in the chaos and in everything that goes on in every day, it's nice to just sit back and be like, you know what? I'm good. Everything's good. So that was my big happy meal. That was the success. I know that was super long-winded too. You guys don't have to be a lo as long, but let's go into T. T, what's your happy meal?
My kid, my youngest child, got their learner's permit this week and
It's dope.
took them three tries. Could not pass that test to the third try, but they got it dialed in and knocked it out. And
Nice.
so I'd taken them in a parking lot driving before this, before they just to try to get them a little basic stuff in. This time I was like, okay, you got it. Let's go on the street. We had to go drop Oreos that we're going to review this week off at Dan's house. And Dan lives right around the corner from the BMV. So I was like, this is nothing to it. This is a
What's
quick
the
little
BMV?
the
Oh,
Bureau of Motor
DMV.
Vehicle. No,
Oh,
it's
I
the
heard
B.
BMV. I was like,
You
is this
did
store?
you did in the great state of Ohio. It is the BMV, is the Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
Oh, shit. Not the department?
Correct.
They're like
So
the
he
FBI for cars.
Right,
But
seriously.
Box live like 5 minutes from there. So I'm like, you know what? That's a short drive. I'll let you get a little street action. My child takes their very first right turn ever, turns onto this street, but just keeps going right right up onto the curb, and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh,
and
that's no.
Funny. Funny, nothing to it, except there's a cop right here.
No.
And I'm like, I'm telling you right now, that cop's going to come back and get us.
Yeah.
And he laughs, and I'm like, I know. No. I just want you to know. So we get a little further around the bend, and sure as shit, whoop, whoop. I'm like, I knew it.
Yeah.
He had to.
You already said, you're just there, you're like.
So I'm like, all right, pull over. And like, he just stopped right where he was. I'm like, no, you got to get past this driveway just in case somebody has to come out this driveway. You don't want to block it. Put it in park. Mm-hmm. Throw your hazards on. Roll your window down. Here's your paperwork. Literally, this learner's license fresh off the printer. Brand new. It's paper still. Like the plastic one comes in the mail.
Yeah. Still smelling like ink.
Yeah. Reach in my wallet, grab my shit out, grab my license, you know what I'm saying? And prepare to hand it over. And a cop, just a peach, which is so rare to say these days.
Right.
It's just like, are you learning how to drive?
Right out the gate. Huh? Yeah. You know what they knew? Once they saw dad on the side, they're like, you know what?
It was like, yeah. And I'm like, it's literally their first time on the road right now. And he goes, all right. He goes, yeah, y'all good. He didn't really be like, look, he just looked and saw that I was of age, you know what I'm saying? And the kid was like, all right, be safe. I go, we're just going around the corner of my homeboy's house. Worry not, man. I got this. So we coast the rest of the way around to get the box house, drop the cookies off, you know, whatever. And we swap seats. But still, man, it was like, so the way that particular bureau works is like, you go over here, you get set up, and there's a little testing center off to the side, and everybody who's waiting goes and sits on the other side of the room. And all of a sudden, my kid just, Dad, I passed! And everybody's turning and looking to see why this person is yelling, but I'm like, just wild proud of my kid, you know what I'm saying? And I give him a big old hug, and he's like, they said we got to go to door 12, which is basically got to leave the structure where you are, where the testing center is, go out the door and just down a couple of doors, and that's where they take the pictures and stuff, you know, for the lights and stuff. And we did get to do that, man. My kid got to get that tat handle, man. So both my children can legally drive, and indeed, so that's pretty dope. And it just every day, I get, can we go driving? I'm like, look, I know you want to drive, but I still have a life to live. But I'm gonna let your brother take you to a parking lot. You can't have you on the street. Just can't. Because he's not 21 yet. So you got to be 21 and older to whatever. I'm like, but he can take you to a parking lot and give you some lessons. And next time, Vanessa's going to take him out and you know, basically give their version of how to drive. And it's just like, we're going to make this kid the best driver ever, man. And it's an exciting time for me to be able to say that, man. So
the kid. And even though, you know, your kid started out with that little bump, that's a great learning experience, too. Like, this is how you hand the papers over. This is the process. Ain't no need to freak out. Just, it's really this easy.
To the total cop. I meant to do that.
What made me, I had to just laugh. I was like, I want you to understand, that's a story you're going to tell your grandkids one day, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is going to be my first time on the road. And I mean, within minutes of getting this thing, learner's permit, I get the lights and siren, and it was just hilarious, man. Like I said, cool cop. He was nothing to it. I was like, all right, hey, be on your way. And I'm like, he goes, I saw you make that turn. I go, yep, so did I.
Oh, that's funny. That is a great memory. That's a core memory right there.
For sure. And I knew it too. It's one of those situations where you're like, oh, this is forever. This is a forever tale. I'll tell it on my own show later this week. But it just happened to fit. It just happened to fit in our brand new Happy Meal segment. Yeah. So props,
nice.
Props
I love
for
it.
That, man. Yeah.
I love it. How about you, Delvin? What's your Happy Meal?
This is kind of going to be a cool week for me, I think. You know, I've been talking about it for a while now. Finally, Justice League Mortal comes out this Friday. Part one does. It's a four-part series. I'm in from episode 2 on down. Playing John Stewart Green Lantern. So that's dope. Also this week, I'm a judge on Who Would Win show, which is a pretty popular show that a lot of people like.
Nice.
And I'm judging the is Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy versus Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
The cartoons? Or just the characters in general?
It's the cartoon version of the Harley Quinn from the HBO Max show, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy. And it's the comic book version of Moon Girl and Dinosaur Girl, Devil Dinosaur. Because the TV show doesn't come out till Friday, which looks excellent, by the way.
Yeah, it looks like the one I saw was with them playing that Gambino song over it. Yes. And I was like, oh, this looks dope. So,
have you seen that trailer, Chaffee?
Yeah, T sent it over, and I was like, this is fucking brilliant. Now, I know nothing about the show. Like, where is it airing? What's it going to be on?
It's on Disney Plus.
Is it?
It's going to be Friday, I think. Yeah. Friday, 8 p.m., I think it starts. Well, it starts on regular Disney Friday, 8 p.m. I think on Disney Plus, it's going to be there all day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because that clip, whew, man, that was like, that was a lot of emotion. Because it was like, you saw something. The art is brilliant. Yeah. The sync is brilliant. And then that song, it's amazing. Yeah. So when you have it clicked on all the levels where it was like, nah, this is like sensory harmony, you know?
Yeah, I like
it. Disney be on they shit when it comes to Black History Month. Mm-hmm. Like Wakanda Forever hit Disney Plus February 1st. The Proud Family's next season is about to come start up if it's not already out there. They be know what they're doing, man. They like, look,
I agree.
We gonna celebrate this. We gonna celebrate it massively. And so I'm like, fuck yeah, go ahead and hit that all out there.
Let me ask y'all both a question. Did y'all both see Black Panther?
Yeah, I love it.
I haven't yet. I am currently watching the first Black Panther with my wife, which we have to watch movies as a miniseries because she falls asleep. And so though I've seen Black Panther many times, she's only kind of skimmed it. So we're rewatching it so that we can watch the movie. And so hopefully by March, I should be able to watch it.
Gotcha.
I saw that one in theaters twice. So yeah.
I can ask you this question, T. Have you watched Wakanda Forever again since you've seen it in the theaters?
No, I hadn't watched on Disney Plus yet. And that's basically because I really want to buy the 4K. I'm a snob about shit. So
yeah, I pre-ordered the 4K steelbook from Best Buy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I asked that question, is this a movie you think you can watch again? Because I was having that inner conflict with myself when I really thought about, like, because of the beginning, and what I want to say, the first hour of the movie is really depressing.
Okay, man, we're in Happy Meal right now. What are you trying to do? Why are you trying to bring that up? This is the opposite.
No, I'm
trying to do Happy Meal. You're trying to do the Black Burger King Whopper, man. Like, what are you doing?
Whopper.
Either y'all try that Black Whopper?
Vanessa did years ago. Like, if you go look on the old Skim YouTube, their review is up there.
Okay.
Yeah,
I actually liked it.
I'm gonna see if I can find you that old video. Holy shit!
Yeah, send that my way.
Which this is a good transition now too, because I do want to get into another thing, and that's like, what are you guys Black watching? Whopper? No, not Black. Hey, that show title, Black Whopper. Happy Black History Month.
Oh man!
But yeah, I do want to talk about like what I've been watching lately too. So I mean. Having not seen Black Panther in a long time, that movie, it holds up like really, really well.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's a solid fucking movie. I'm really excited to see the next one, especially for the Latin representation as well. So I might skip ahead and then watch it because I know I can fully watch it in a sitting and then my wife won't even know.
I was going to tell you, don't watch it around your wife.
What?
The mortar is out there. Taking women. that is a good looking dude.
Look, too handsome.
Well, I want to go see it in the theaters.
You're doing a lot. Go put a shirt on.
Yeah, well, I want to see it in the theaters, and he hopped his happy ass out in that water. You can hear the women gasp like, like, yo, what's going on?
Just across the room.
Like, yo,
you're like easy.
Wow.
I want to watch it for sure. Definitely. I did want to talk about because it's one, I'm happy to hear it, but fucking The Last of Us is the hotness, man. People are loving it. And I love that they're loving it. Even like the non-gamers, like so many podcasts I've listened to lately where they're like, my partner or my significant other was like, did you know this was a game? And they're like, yeah, bitch. I've been playing with that. What
they
are you
tell
talking
you
about?
100 times it's a game. They tell you every chance they get.
Oh my God.
So many podcasts I've listened to, they've been like, my wife fully like blew me away. And she was like, did you know this is based on a game? And the guys are always like, I fucking played it like three times in front of you. What are you talking about? This is the game
Sounds
I told you would love.
Sounds about right.
Episode three was such a game changer, I think, for everybody involved. Like that was the one where they deviated the most from the game, but it was such a goddamn work of art that everybody was, that's when people was really start asking, like, wait a minute, is video games like this? And I'm like,
yeah,
well, that this particular one, no, but yeah, kind of.
But
and
to an extent, yes.
Yeah.
Because if you read the letters, you follow the lore,
you get the
like,
lore.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah, man.
I do have a gripe about that episode that has nothing to do with that episode. I felt like it came too soon. Like, even though I understand the pacing, usually TV shows will do the odd episode later because it resets the timeline a little bit. Like, because now you can, like, it or like it erases the board. But to be two episodes in, I think episode four should have been episode three and then maybe four. Just because we only did two episodes with the main characters, even though they were involved in that episode, and then it just kind of threw it that it was like, are we established enough? For me, having played the game multiple times, I was established because I knew who the fuck everyone was. Yeah. But all in all, regardless of all that, like how T said, that episode was art. The writing was brilliant. That from the writing to the lighting, that shit was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've seen it now at this point like three times, and so I love the Last of Us series so much that I watch multiple people reviewing and recapping episodes on YouTube, just constantly, all kinds. I try to watch more diverse voices because there's lots of Black women reviewing this, and I'm like, dope. Lots of other people, so I've been like real on that shit. You know what I'm saying? Women reviewing and stuff like that. There, non-gamers review it has been something I've actually very much enjoyed. People are like, I didn't even notice this video game, or I'm aware of this video game, but I didn't know it.
Yeah,
what's what, and so forth. So it's been real. That's been a real adventure for me in that regard. I've been having a good time doing that.
Do you listen to For All Nerds podcast?
No, but I listened to that first one because Rod from Blackout Tips was on it.
Yeah,
when the Lack of Us, that first episode.
Yeah, the Lack of Us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that did episode 1 through 3, and then their latest, I think, is focusing on 4.
Okay.
And Rod did amazing. I mean, one, I mean, give it up to Rod just in general. Like, he's brilliant as it is. But I think that's a well done show too, because it was voices I can connect with the way that they were talking about it. It wasn't so analyzing as it was just like, that shit, right, was crazy. And it's like, yes, you know, so I loved it. Yeah. But I also really like the companion podcast that's from HBO, because that's more like deeper into the structure and you're hearing it from the people who are putting it out.
Basically acts as a director's commentary for the it episodes. Does. It's Neil Druckmann. It's Craig Mazin. Troy Aikman.
Troy Baker.
Troy Baker. The legendary Cowboys quarterback. Yeah. Troy Aikman.
Troy Baker hosted, you know, saying the voice of Joe from the games hosted.
What's the name of the podcast?
It's just called The Last of Us, the official podcast. HBO podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on, and I don't know if it's actually just
HBO's Last of Us podcast.
HBO's Last of Us, and that's what you look for, and they break down each episode and they do a great job. But it's like how T said, because didn't we talk about this last time, like the art of the director's cut and like how much like I had missed it, and like this really is it. When they start talking about
commentary,
like, why they do it,
are the shit, and I miss
director's commentary, not cut. Like that. Wow, we missed that so much, and this scratches that itch. I even like the changes that they're making. Yeah. You know, like where it's like it's more of the hive mind as opposed to like the spores. I kind of get it. The way it looks is fantastic. Those one-to-one scenes where it's like, yeah, that's right out of the fucking game. Like, that's super awesome. Delvin kind of mentioned this. He poorly explained it on PSVG, but I totally understood what he was saying. Ellie is, what's the actress's name?
Bella Ramsey.
Yeah. Bella Ramsey. She's not a good actress. Like,
you are wrong.
No, I'm gonna tell you why I'm not wrong. Listen to, I think it's episode 2, distinctly when they're on the bridge, her accent keeps falling out, like she's not holding it. They are dancing circles around her. She does. Delvin said it this way: she's just an actor acting, and it's like she's not like embodying the character. She's not expressing herself. She doesn't emote in a way that's like this. And I'm not even saying she has to be Ellie from the game. Just she is being out acted, and it shows. And like I said, and multiple times, but I bring up the bridge scene because her accent fell out like 2 to 3 times hard, where I was like, oh shit, like no one heard this. Like, I backed it up because I was like, am I tripping? And it's like, boom, British. And I was like, ooh, they are acting the fuck out of you, kid. Like, you, even characters who are like Tess, who was only in there for a minute, they're running on her. She's not strong enough. Like, I hope that she develops as the show goes, but in this role, she's too weak. And again, that emoting, like, bring the character to life. Like, I can't tell if she's in distress, in elation, or bored. I can't tell.
Especially when listening to them talk about it. These are directorial choices, with the exception of the accent, with the exception of the accent, which I didn't pick up on, but you did. So that's what's up. They have been trying to, and they talk about it, how they've been, they, this is a person when you look at Ellie in the show, who was fully born and raised in the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't understand her emotions because it's like, shit, I've never been outside before, so I'm kind of excited about that. I'm a killer because I just am, because she just has to be, because everybody in this world at this point has to be a murderer. So she kind of has to be like, am I a killer, or am I just like whatever? And so we're kind of figuring that out as on episode 4 yesterday, when she had to put the bullet to that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so it's been that, like I said, that I feel like is just how she is currently being directed by Neil and well, not Neil, because these two yesterday and number 5 are directed by another guy who they talk about after the episode. But it's direction. I feel like she's being literally
And listening to the same episode, like the same podcast commentary, and then I'll let Delvin jump in. I do agree. That is the statements they're making, but she is too monotone. And you can be like, I exist in this environment, and so it's who I am. But no matter what environment you're from, you react to your environment. And I'm not seeing the reaction that could be provided. It's that's what I'm saying. It's too flat. Like, if something's going to scare you, no matter where you're from, whether you lived in it or not, if someone's shooting at your head, you're going to freak the fuck out. Like, that's just what it is. And I'm not seeing those elements. Or, like, even when she was telling the jokes, I was like, you not enjoy these jokes? Like, what the fuck?
Bro, whereas I was rolling. It was so good, bro. Like the last one where she really got him to laugh, where she got Joel to laugh. But also, I'm just by the look on his face, I'm pretty sure she got Pedro to laugh at that point.
Yeah,
he kind of almost.
But that's the difference, though. Is like, but he's emoting, and I understand it's, you know, saying it's the directorial component. He has lost a child. His world has been flipped upside down. He is in full distress and anger.
Yeah.
And he's still emoted. And that's the part that I have trouble with, is that when she was in Game of Thrones, she was a fucking beast. You could feel like what she was throwing out there. In this one, I'm like, did you not want to do this job? I can't tell. Like, it sounds like you're just here. But Delvin, what were you gonna say?
I get it. I get I get everything you're saying. I agree with most of it. I actually will say, I think she's doing a fine job. It's fine. It's not amazing. It's not.
Yeah, I give her fine for sure.
My whole thing, and I said I might have said it on PSVG if it didn't cut me off. But I think.
Well, this fool did say she's an actor who's acting, and I was like, come on. Yeah.
she's acting like she's portraying herself in a way where you're like, ah, I don't believe that you're actually this character. You're not embodying who this character is. And even more so, she has this thing where her face, no matter what's going on, is just the same expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's not really emoting anything like Chef was saying. I think that annoyed me the first 2-3 episodes. I'm like, okay, something's happening right now. Why are you not expressing that with your face and your emotions? And I get it that there's a certain level of reservedness, I think, that you guys, as you guys explained, that the directors are wanting her to have.
Yeah.
But my thing has always been, and maybe I think this was probably my mistake, comparing her to the video game Ellie with the scenes and things like certain things would happen to it. And you see how video game Ellie reacts to certain things.
Yeah.
And you see how she does. It's like, it's close, but it has a different feel to it.
Yeah. So, I will give her this. I did feel in episode 4, I saw growth. So I'm really hoping as we start progressing along the way, and maybe T's right. Maybe it's a matter of as Joel lets his guard down and Ellie lets her guard down, we know where the story goes along the way, that relationship will start to flourish, and then so will, like, the emotions will sort of blossom as well. That's really what I'm hoping for. But with these first couple, I was like, no, I'm not liking this. I'm
hoping for a scene where there's a big pool of water and Joel has to get a plank and push her across it. They have to at least do it one time.
Just one time. No.
That's what y'all want. I want Joel in the trap upside down popping at fucking clippers.
Oh, that's
and we technically
if they don't do that, man.
I know, but it's like we're technically past that part of the game. So it has to take place somewhere else. And probably where they are right now, it could. Mm-hmm.
I want to see that. That'll be dope.
Yeah. Yeah. That scene right there. I mean, I think it's also like when you play a game that is, it deserves all the accolades it received. It is the 10s out of 10s, the 9s out of 10. Like it's solid. And those moments like that, they were stressful when you played the game. But I think a scene like that too, you probably could fit it in some scenario, you know, like, because, I mean, they're already adding, which I do enjoy too, and I think they talked about it on the HBO podcast, doing that episode allowed them to start branching characters, like how we saw a new character in episode 4. So it's like, I get it. So since they're restructuring the timeline a little, I think we'll start to see those things unfold along the way. But
I hope so.
Yeah. Even the first episode, shit. That was like when everything started going down, I really felt the same tension I did playing the game and racing through the city and then seeing them do it. I was like, oh, fuck, you know, like, and even knowing what goes down with the daughter, I still thought grandma was going to eat her when she was like twitching in the back. And I had to tell myself, that's not how she goes out. But I mean, you could get bit.
I actually started part 1 of, you know, the PlayStation 5 remake myself tonight. My kid played through it, you know, like at, before the show came out, but I was just like, now I just been watching the show and I'm just itching to play it. So I actually started tonight and I was like, fucking stupid ass game being so good.
Right. It's funny because now you're playing the newly remastered one.
Yeah. The remake. We want to call it remaster. Yeah.
Yeah. So, remake. Cause one. I was like, it's funny you say that because so when they came out with it, I was like, I ain't paying no fucking $60 for this game. Like, I already own it.
Lie to yourself.
Hey, right? Because why was I on the PlayStation app last night after the show? Like, I mean,
No, I got that during the Christmas sales. I got it for $40, I think. And I'm like, there it is.
I should have got it then.
That's the sweet spot.
What I'm crossing my fingers on is that series season one ends, and then I'm sure we'll see sales
for sure.
Somewhere. It's you know, and then that's when I'll cop it.
I think Target got a sale on games this week. Check your Target app, man. You might be able to get it this weekend. So,
oh yeah, okay, definitely.
Prices out there, my guy.
But I do love how much the non, like I said this earlier, the non gamer community eating this game up is this movie, this show up is like awesome.
And you know, and people are going out to buy the game and so forth. I read somewhere in England, the sales of the game was up like 325% or something.
That's what I was about to say.
Ridiculous number. So
yeah, I think it was, the UK was like 300%. And then in the States, it was like up 150% or something. Like it was still high tier too. I was like, shit.
The show, awesome. Week over week, its viewership keeps increasing, which is just, it just doesn't happen often in TV anymore.
No.
So, the fact that people are out here, you know, talking it up and like, okay, I'll give it a watch and so forth.
Yeah.
Even though episode 3 got review bombed on IMDb because, you know, the world is full of homophobes.
Yeah.
It still didn't stop the numbers. And so.
And I think the word of mouth after that really blew it up too, where the people were like, don't listen to that shit. Fucking watch it. And then when people watched it, they were like, oh, this is something else. And then, I mean, just even to give it up to the two actors, I can't remember the one from White Lotus, but Nick Offerman, like, it's just two dudes the whole episode, and they just fucking, the vulnerability, the transition in their relationship, like, man, it was amazing. It was just fucking amazing. And then
that dude's British.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? Fuck y'all, Brits. Connie's taking jobs.
That's all they do. Bunch of jerks. But I don't know, that show is super awesome. I'm really, really glad. I'm okay, and I'm pleased with the direction in which it's going. I think net changes are necessary.
Yeah, and then listening
Yeah. And then listening to the podcast and understanding why they're making the changes, like, oh, you're just putting like the footsteps in the right place so that like these things will be like squared away. So I think it's fucking awesome. I did want to just follow up very quickly. T, did you watch The Menu yet?
No. Here's some things that T watched. My favorite theater announced that it was closing. Mm-hmm. And so then it was like, basically, this Friday's it. And so me and Vanessa was like, yo, we got to go there. What do you want to see? Turns out they had brought Everything Everywhere All at Once back to, for, you know,
Oscar. Ooh, so good.
I'd seen the movie. I've seen it twice already, but I was like, let me go see it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see the movie, I'd get something else out of it. I love that movie. It's amazing on the big screen. Everything Everywhere All at Once, you should have watched this by now. And if you have not, go see it. Go see it at the theater. Yeah.
Don't waste your time. Like, you need to be seeing it.
Yeah, go get the Blu-ray. Do whatever you got to do. Go get it. I also went to go see Avatar Way of the Water in high frame IMAX 3D. I don't like Avatar. I didn't like the first Avatar, but I only saw the first Avatar at home.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know what I'm saying? So to me, it was just like a mediocre movie.
Mm-hmm.
To go see the shit in IMAX 3D, high frame, you know what I'm saying? So the best of the best of the best in my general area where you can see, I can see the movie.
Yeah.
Bro, that movie is a perfectly boring 7 of a movie that is absolutely, absolutely one of the most beautiful things I've ever watched in my entire existence. In a way that makes that 7 of a movie almost a 10 of a movie.
It's kind of like when you watch
so amazing.
When 4K was new and those Planet Earth shows were blowing up.
Yeah.
It's like, this shit is boring, but goddamn, those lizards are fucking amazing.
Every time they show you one of those TVs, they show you the globe.
Yeah. Exactly.
About the globe.
That movie is mediocrely acted. It is the story is just ho-hum, but it's gorgeous in a way that makes you go, wait a minute, that's all CG. Every bit of that is CG, but it don't look like CG. It looked like they on a whole different goddamn planet talking to aliens. It looks so real. It looks so real. The animals look so real. The underwater scenes look so, everything about it is so real that I can understand why people be like, oh, man, I wish I could go to Pandora. You know what I'm saying?
You're like, I get it.
I get it. And I was like, I'm certainly glad I spent the dough and saw it in 3D. And if you can, I would tell you to go do that. And don't go see it in whack ass real D. Go see that shit in a proper 3D, calibrated with its brightness correct and all that good shit. Go to the real deal. Go see it at the real deal theater, and it's worth the amusement park ride that you just spent the money on, man. It is a perfectly fine movie that looks so damn good that it gets over everything else. Like, nice. Good Lord. Nice. They are terrible actors. But there's
I totally get what you're saying, though, because when you see something that is just like, it's built for this, and I say built, not talking about the act, just the built, it's like, ah, oh, fuck, this is something else.
You know how Nintendo can just get the most out of their hardware every damn time?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's James Cameron.
Yeah.
James Cameron getting the most
out of his... like, shit, who's James Cameron?
Now his motherfucking name is James Cameron.
Because I'll watch the James Cameron movie.
Santana.
blam, yeah. You know, like, he invented cameras to do this. He invented, like, vehicles to go underwater a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, Killer Cam, Diplomats, Dipset. I got to give it up to him, man. He
it's all from scratch. He's like, I built this. Literally built this.
So I get it. It has to be respected, man.
But man. I'm telling you, watch that movie. It's so good. And then I did watch one more, and then we're going to get on our next segment. I did watch a really good nominated movie on Netflix called Bardo. It was really so good. It's really abstract, very Michelle Gondry-like. Mm-hmm. But I think for us as aging gentlemen, definitely worth the watch. When you realize what's taking place, it's open to a lot of interpretation, but it was really, really good.
Is it Michelle Gondry joint? Is he back?
No, it's not. Oh. I'm saying, but the way it's done, it's Alejandro Iñárritu, I think is his name. The one who did the bear movie with DiCaprio.
The Revenant.
He did that one, and I can't remember the other one he did, but he's done some really good movies. I think he did Amores Perros as well. So he's like a Mexican director. But I highly recommend watching it. But I want to kind of change things up a little bit, shift gears for a second, and then we'll kind of get into some other stuff we've been into. But I got to do a quick what's up with that. And
we need a drop for that.
That's why I paused, fool. Why you got to interrupt it?
Oh, you got. Oh, I want
to
hear your drop.
Now I know who don't listen to the show. All right, man. Hey,
I tell you right now, the show.
You exposed yourself right now.
I tell people all the time, I don't listen to the shows I'm on.
Right there, every time this happens, you'll hear, ooh, wee.
There it is. What up with that? That's why I always take a beat.
I would never get to that.
But here's something that's been heavy on my mind, pressing your man lately, just occupying too much space in my brain.
What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that?
What's up with noodles? Like, why are fucking noodles so good? Like, I don't know why. I've just been thinking about noodles a lot lately, and I'm just like, I want chow mein. I want like a cold Thai salad with those little rice noodles, like the vermicelli style. I want spaghetti. Like, why are noodles so fucking great, man? Like, I'm saying, even from the basic end to the brilliant end, noodles are fucking fantastic, man. Like, you gotta, if you don't like noodles, something wrong with you. You're not of earth. Like, that's all I gotta say. Why are noodles so rad? What do you guys think?
Noodles, according to this article that I pulled up for this very segment, that came from at least 25 CE. Noodles have been here. We've been eating noodles since damn near since we've been processing wheat. It's dope, man. Noodles this is good because they're amazing and they've been doing the damn thing. I mean, spaghetti is whack. Don't get it twisted. It's whack. Don't eat spaghetti. Leave that shit where it is. But almost every other noodle, they got something to say.
Right.
Just be fucking with it.
I'm telling you know what? Use the rotini. Don't use the elbow. Gets in there better. It's in there. Super delicious.
Sully, I told y'all that we discussed the Christmas.
That's right. We did talk about that.
That Fusilli is doing something, man. It's got a good bite to it.
Underrated. Put some respect on his name. You don't know, because that's the next game changer. Now, Delvin, you said you had some commentary on some noodles too.
Look, noodles is the universal food for the world. Let's be honest.
Right.
Everywhere you go, people are eating noodles. And nobody turns down noodles. Like
you go
to any part of Asia. They're eating noodles or something. In the United States, they put noodles on everything. And even in the prison system, oodles and noodles.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, you know, noodles is just kind of like an essential part of culture now.
We ain't got no African noodles. What's up with that?
I don't know. Do you Google it? You better find out.
Oh, you know I'm in these streets, bro. I ain't seeing Africa come up. Asia, Central Asia, West Asia, Europe, Italy, Germany, Israel, and the diaspora. But I ain't seeing nothing about African noodles.
Damn.
Now, everybody seems to have their own type of dumpling. Everybody got a something that is dumpling-esque.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody seems to have a curry stew kind of vibe. Everybody all around the world got their variation on the theme. Why ain't we eating noodles in Africa? I want to know.
Or is the man suppressing African noodles?
The African noodle? The African noodle is a thing? Or maybe they just do it different, and it's not noodling, but it is.
I bet that African noodle probably fire too.
Okay, does Africa have pasta? The African pasta diaspora called, and please, I'm going to butcher this because I don't know the appropriate pronunciation, is Basto in Somali. Pasta appeared in Somalia during the Italian occupation, and so we got... They do like a little bit of bolognese. So they do. Oh, but they don't have a native. That's what it is. They don't have a native pasta. But it is popular. It is popular. But no, not a native one. Damn. Okay.
I can ask somebody.
Yep. All right. Something to think about.
I want to know.
I think. Yeah. You know what? Someone called Dave Chappelle. But I'm just saying, man.
Grammy Award winner, Dave Chappelle?
I don't have to call Dave Chappelle. I can just ask.
Oh, that's right. Your homeboy's from Africa.
I can just ask. Hold on. I can literally text him.
We ain't going to say my man from Africa. What country is he from?
He's from Ghana.
Okay, he is Ghanaian. We're going to put some respect on Ghana's name and not just shout out the whole damn continent. Because that's some real colonizer shit right there. It's Africa.
Not, you know, okay.
We say that shit corrected. like it's Florida. It's not. It's not.
Let me see if I can.
I mean, it's right there. It's just over there, man. What do you want me to do?
He ain't woke yet.
The damn countries in the damn world can fit neck on that one continent, but we're going to talk about it like it's just, you know, Africa.
It's Africa.
No, we will respect
like
it.
Like it's just a neighborhood. Nah, you know what? You're right. But all in all, I mean, okay, aside from the African pasta mystery, which we need to discover, we need to uncover, we need to dig deeper, we might need to look into these TikTok streets and see what we find as well. Globally, pasta everywhere, noodles, like, damn. And so many, you can get noodles that come with like sweet things, you can get noodles savory, you can get noodles spicy, like so many variety of noodle, man. And it's just been like, lately all I want is fucking noodles. What's up with noodles? Like 24/7. So just in general, man, fucking put some respect on Noodle's name because they're out here. But we're going to find out more about the African noodle too next time we come back on this special episode of Ghana or Ghana.
Ghana, son. Oh, my God.
Now, to kind of get back and there's a couple more pieces and then we'll kind of wrap up for the evening.
Oh, my God.
Now that I have a record player, I am out of control. Like, I'm telling myself, like, fucking homeboy on Drink Champs, why am I drawing a blank now? I'm ruining this.
Noriega.
But I'm like, Noriega, I'm telling myself, relax.
Relax. You gotta relax.
I'm like, man, I'm telling me, you're doing a lot. The amount of, like, vinyl I have been purchasing lately is ridiculous, but it's one of those things where I have a thought and is it in color vinyl They see there's T holding a fist. Oh, is that the one that's supposed to come to me?
Yeah. I'm just going to have to go slap a label on it and just send it my damn self. Like I said, they have not responded to any of my queries. They're
like,
so
they're like, no way, bro. Yeah,
so I'm
but
like,
let me tell you, like, now that I'm in and understanding vinyl, it's a dangerous game. And so I want to highlight some of my like my favorite recent purchases. One of them that like was a big one for me is I picked up I think it's a white vinyl copy of the latest Arcade Fire. Now that one's significant to me, especially for some of the songs that are on there. But when that album came back, and then some of the lines in there, were like my last moments with our dog that passed. And so it was like, I remember holding her and listening to a particular song, you know, the day before she had passed. And so it's like, it's very significant to me. So the album We by Arcade Fire, so good. And then also picking up, like I mentioned earlier, I've really been super into like Def Heaven. So I've picked up a few of theirs and then did add one essential album to my collection. And that was the Rumors album by Fleetwood Mac, just universally. Like, I mean, you got to own it, but like the hunt, the find of like vinyl, like even Jason Lacey of like Flux the Pose, he texted me and he was like, man, you're really getting a lot of vinyl. And I was like, I really am. And then T sent me one and I was super hyped because it was Interpol. It was red vinyl. And then it's got a whole fucking like, the album's beautiful. It's red, but it's like, it's actually a bump. It's almost like if the vinyl didn't melt in pressing. Yeah. So it's like a see-through lump. And so when you play it, it just gets all fucking weird. So, man, the vinyl has really been taking over. So I just wanted to sort of highlight those. The Arcade Fire one has been fantastic. Like I said, I picked up the Fleetwood Mac one. Oh, and I did get that Target because I didn't own that Run the Jewels yet, the first one.
Oh, nice.
So I got that color version. Woo, it's fucking beautiful. So I've been stoked.
I love a dope colorway, man.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I paid a little bit for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all don't know about it. It'll be up on that podcast. But I fell in love with a song out of the blue recently, called "Why Don't We Fall in Love?" by our artist named Victoria Monet. And I was like, I need this. I need. So I go look up the album.
I love that song.
Came out in 2020, and I'm like, fuck. But they released this emerald green joint version of it, man. I was like, I'm just gonna pay for it. I'm just gonna pay the gold. And so I paid for it. Got that bad boy. Got it off of Discogs. From a seller, and came up on that shit. I got the GoldenEye orchestrated soundtrack on Gold Nugget vinyl, so that's wild pretty. Me and Chaffee both got that De La 3 is the magic number, 7-inch.
Yes, and that one was exciting too because, so it was one of those things that I'm like, oh, I'll order it tomorrow, and then finally I was sitting on the sofa and I was like, fucking haven't ordered it yet, so I put 3 feet high and rising in the car, get it, boom, good. Go to throw in Three's the Magic Number, and I'm like, fucking bitch is sold out. Damn. I was like, I blew it. But then it had one of those like, sign up here and we'll let you know when it's available. And then I think like 2 days later, they sent me something and it was like, it's back in stock. And I was like, immediate, boom, pick it up. So yeah, I got that one too.
It's like, I love buying records, man. I just do. Yeah. Records are so fly. It's just such a dope little conversation piece and so forth. I'm going to tell you right now, go on, find you a copy of the European pressing of Say No Go. It's a De La Soul joint.
Yeah.
But if I can find you this picture of it, one side is the song and a couple of remixes. On the other side, it's just this beautiful etched art.
Oh, wow. That's sick.
And Oliver Wong, who is a professor out there in Cali, but also he's a writer. He writes a bunch of stuff for just hip-hop and music and stuff like that. He got a copy of that, and I was like, oh, that's gorgeous. I need to find that.
And
I got on Discogs for a pretty good song. Got it from like, you know, Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will disrespect Europe. I ain't gonna fuck, you know.
Saying, yeah, I was like, well, man, you ain't gonna be like specific.
I don't care what country you came from, Europe. And it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. It's like it's one of the ones I got in my collection. I'm just like, there you go, dude. Yeah. What you get, Devin? You saw that you got a record too, man. What'd you get?
Yeah, you've been buying, right?
Yeah, I've been buying a few. One of the ones I got was as T told me, Mondo.
Oh,
was selling the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack.
Nice.
So I definitely wouldn't cop that.
That's what's up.
That was dope.
That's used to be soundtracks.
Yeah. Just play Axel F all day. That's
nice.
What I hear. But also, what I got was because I saw it, and like, this is cool as fuck. Because I didn't know it existed till, what did I say, like a month ago. Maybe that's just the last time we recorded. They had, I know T's in the comic book, so he probably remembers this. Remember the Marvel Hip Hop covers?
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They have records like that.
I am aware. I have Liquid Swords.
I got the 50 Cent one.
Oh, okay. With the Iron Man.
Yes, Joffrey. Yeah. What these are is the Marvel Hip Hop.
No, I know covers. Exactly what they are. Yeah, because it was the Howard the Duck one.
Yeah.
That was Run the Jewels, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have the records just like that now. I think they've been out for a while.
They have been. So I have the Liquid Swords, the Battle of Championship, which is like the Hulk versus somebody on the front of it from like Planet Hulk, I believe. So it's pretty dope. And it comes on it's a Coke bottle clear vinyl. So mm-hmm. it's got a very, you know, it's a nice little color to it. That's the thing. We always like, Chuffy and I and Delvin are fans of the various colorways. I know some people are like, I'm a black vinyl stan or whatever, but I'm saying I like dope colorways. Yeah. So I go for it.
I like.
Well, that's like, I saw there's a different type of mat that's like a white rubber, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it's designed for, I saw it on TikTok, but it's like designed for the colorways. Yeah. And someone did like, if your colorway is on black plastic, whatever, or the black felt, it looks like this. You do it on the cork, it looks like this. But if you do it on the white mat, it's designed for colors. So then it just, it looks illuminated, especially when the light's on. And I was like, do I need to buy that? Like, cause it popped like a motherfucker. I was like, oh, that's night and day. Literally.
Is it a mat or is it like a whole ass, you know, like a platter?
The one I saw was like was a rubber, because the person they did every time they changed it, they put it down and it was like a thick rubber mat.
Okay.
So then they would take off the felt and then literally put down the cardboard. And so you saw that the platter was still there, and then they'd lift up the cardboard and then put and then put down the rubbery one. But I was like, fuck, that's sick. That was beautiful. The way it just like illuminated everything. I was like, I kind of like it. Cause even with those clear ones, so I have one clear album and when I put it down, I was like, oh, it's what I thought clear was going to be. It's not see-through. It's just like plexiglass, a little bit hazy. And then I got another one that said it was crystal clear. And that bitch is see the fuck through. Where I was like, oh, that's fully see the cork today. And then, so that shit was crazy. And then I got to show you the album that came in today. It's from a local artist. He's like a synth rap guy called Nate No Face. I love his music. Kind of like punk. But this is a clear blood splatter album.
Oh, that is dope.
Look at that bitch. And really I know I'm holding it all wrong. I know people are gonna get mad the way I'm holding it, but I don't give a fuck.
They're not gonna see it. Okay.
This is sick.
That's cool.
How clear. You can see my fridge.
I'm about to get you one off the shelf. I gotta show it to you. And hold on.
I know it's not a video show. Sorry, people, but you know, maybe when Delvin gets the keys to be his VG, it will.
Use your imagination.
Now, Delvin, when are you going to get a record player?
I got one.
Oh, you do? I didn't know you had one.
I got one for Christmas.
That's right. You did say that. You did.
I feel like we might need to start just doing a vinyl podcast. Mortal Kombat 1 and 2.
Oh, that's dope.
Oh, no. Hold on, hold on. I'm about to fuck y'all.
All right, give it to me.
Hold on. I'm going to turn my background off. Hold on.
Yeah.
Y'all is not ready for this, bro. We all see it. Y'all going to be like this.
Yeah, don't let it get hazy on me.
I can see my whole filthy ass house.
It's fine.
Hold on.
It's background.
It's wild thick.
That's what she said.
Ooh. Oh, fuck.
Oh, that's dope.
So with T's holding up the album, and it's like you know the Halloween's like dagger where the blood flows inside of it. That's what this record's doing, and it's a Mortal Kombat album. That's amazing, man.
It's called the whatever the Genesis code was from Blood Code was.
Uh-huh.
It's called Bat Variant.
Wow.
And I got it from Enjoy the Ride, where I got that GoldenEye record from.
Mm-hmm.
And what's dope about it is they said if the blood ever, you know, goes away, because I liquid filled records have a habit of just evaporating over time.
They just dry, yeah, over time.
Yeah, they'll refill.
Because everything is porous, no matter what. That's everything cool. is porous.
Yeah, so that's one of the ones that I paid a pretty penny for, but it's worth like four times what I paid for it at this point. If I were so inclined to flip it,
yeah. So well, that, I'm okay, you know, I'm okay with that. Even talking about that, that's where Discogs and their cataloging thing becomes a little like, okay, so looking at my albums, one, Sunday, The Dog, I really, really love the artwork, and I actually have been looking about getting another one just because she fucking ate the corner. I think I texted you, T. She ate the corner of my OC's album. Yeah. And I even just loved the little vanity sticker that was on there, and she chewed it up, where I was like, God, that fucking sucks. But my current, I've only cataloged like 10 albums. No, less than that. I think only five. But of the five, like, it's insane how this like fluctuates. Because when I first loaded them, it was like, your albums are worth like $150. And then I logged in today just to see what the range was. And those shits are already like $250 to $400, and I was like, "What?"
Like, going up,
and I was legit. Like, I kept it honest, where I was like, "Yes, this is near mint, but this is just good." You know, I wasn't like going to try to hype it up because I was just like, "I'm curious." And I'm like, "Damn, these bitches are really fucking an investment, man." So, you know, where this is something we'll revisit periodically is just talking about the vinyls we picked up, the way I'm buying shit. You definitely hear about it some more next week, but also just. You know, you can, you know, take a look at my Instagram stories, and you will definitely see like all the shit I've been buying. It's like I said, I've been going too hard in the paint on these fucking bitches, but I love it, man. Sometimes, and just getting back into, I used to spend a lot of time like back in the day, like my wife had said too, we went to this record shop called Fingerprints out here, and she was like, oh, this feels like when we first started dating. Cause I used to spend a lot of time in the stores looking for CDs and like independent like artists and stuff like that. And so she's like, I just always be following you around in the fucking music shop. And she's like, and here we are again, years later. as we kind of wind things down, our last bit for the evening, what are you guys gaming? What are you guys playing? You guys got anything going on?
No, I got you a list.
All right.
I since last we recorded, I completed Horizon Forbidden West. It is a sin and a damn shame that Angela Bassett did not get a nomination for the Game Awards for her role in that game, because she was straight Angela Bassett in that game like a motherfucker, and it's disrespectful. Yep. And now that she's about to become an Oscar winner, they seem even more out of touch. Like, bruh, right. She was real good in that game, and that game was that game was a delight. It is what has me nearing considering getting the PlayStation VR 2. Because Horizon,
Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild. I beat Modern Warfare 2, mm-hmm. the 2022 version, and that game ends with a little stinger for like, you know, what I'm saying, basically, does. What's the next game? But I'm like, fuck yeah, more of that, please. I have not stopped playing Marvel Snap. I love it. New season just started as we were recording, I noticed. So am I gonna get him to $10? I'm gonna see what Mike say. If Fowler paid it in, I'll probably pay it in. Because he'll tell me if I need to bother or not.
Yeah.
But the one thing I want y'all to play and not to sleep on, Hi-Fi Rush on Xbox. It's also available on Steam. But if you have Game Pass, it's on Game Pass. It's from the studio that made The Evil Within 1 and 2 and Ghostwire Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
It was a shadow drop. They had a Xbox Direct, Developer Direct is what they called it, and they announced that game and said it'll be here after this show. And I was like, yo, that's crazy. It's amazing.
And the game is apparently really good.
It's amazing. Yeah. I finished it a couple of days back, and I went right back in and started playing it again. It's one of them joints.
I have it downloaded. Are you done with your list?
And the Steam Deck approved. So if you've got a Steam Deck, you can play it on there. $30.
Oh, that's okay. Dope.
Yeah.
I got Hi-Fi Rush downloaded. There's something else I downloaded it on the Game Pass. Oh, because I'm waiting for Atomic Hearts as well. It's just taking me forever to finish God of War. I am really enjoying it. I'm having a good time, but just more like time itself is keeping me from playing. Right now I'm at the point where Atreus and Kratos are back together. They're working together. They just got back to the crib, and Atreus is showing everyone the drawings of the mask. And
I don't know nothing about that, so I hadn't played it yet. So right on.
It doesn't spoil anything because it's just where they are. But so I still don't know. I think I'm in the last quarter, possibly.
Yes.
But it's kind of hard following like walkthroughs because there's so much that branches off and doubles back that I'm like, I don't really know where I am. But I think the way it's kind of, you know, most games do where it's like fucking Avengers Assemble, like all the characters are like, let's work together now. Yes, like, I think that's where I am. But I've been playing God of War. And then just last night, Donnie from PSVG, or just yesterday, he posted something on Twitter about this game. And I was like, this is the dumbest fucking game I've ever seen, but I really want to play it. And it's called Fashion Police Squad.
Did you hear him talking about Nintendo Shack?
He was talking about a Nintendo Shack.
Did you hear him say fabulous on Nintendo Shack?
Yes. It's because he sent me the clip. Okay, this game, one, I think it's like going for like $19, but it's on sale for like $16 or something like that. Let me tell you, this game is worth it at like $25. Like, I would pay over. It has that old Nintendo feel, even though it's like first-person shooter sort of setup. It has – do you remember like finding those – when your mom was like, I'm not buying you the full expensive game, but you can go pick one over at the random KB bin. And then if you got lucky, you were like, actually, this is a good fucking game. Like, the 7-Up dot game was a fun game.
A banger.
But it was like, you know, like, people weren't talking about Mighty Bomb Jack. They were talking about this one over here. This game is so much fun. And the concept is this. You are a fashion police officer. And I really thought it was going to be more problematic, too, and it really isn't, and I'm glad to see that, though I guess you probably could find issue with it if you wanted to. But you're a fashion police officer, and people are dressed in drab clothing, so you have to shoot them. And when you shoot them, they stop being in this drab clothing and throwing items at you, and then they get color in their life, and they're excited. And then there's different types of characters. There's like big guys, then you have to shoot them, but you have to use a different type of weapon. Or there's guys on scooters, and then they're overly, like, colorful, so you have to tone them down and use a different weapon. There's a guy who, like, vapes, and you have to hit him with a whip. And when you hit him with a whip, his vape turns to bubbles. But it's, like, it's jumping, it's platforming. It hits all the nostalgic components with still enough complexity that I was like, actually, the bones of this game? It's really good. Like, this is a high recommend. Go buy Fashion Police Squad. If you played the NES, even kind of a little bit getting into the SNES era, this will scratch that nostalgic itch. They do a good, like, tongue-in-cheek. So far, I've played, like, 3 levels, and I've, like, all I wanted to do today was just play more levels. And it's fun, because it also has the corridor stuff, too, where you're like, well, let me just see what's around this fence over here. And then let me find this item. And let me do this other thing too. So it's got a little bit of exploration in there, but I'm telling you, it's so much fun. So much fun. Like
What harbor are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on the Switch right now, but I think
Okay.
you can play it on like Steam Deck as well.
Yeah, it looks like everywhere. Switch, Xbox, PlayStation 4 and 5. So okay. It's
Yeah.
it and Steam. So
And
boom.
Steam. Fashion Police Squad.
Fashion Police Squad.
So wherever you can cop it, whatever's your platform of choice, I highly recommend playing this game. Like I said, it is so dumb. But then once I started really getting into it, I was like, you know what? This game is really good. And like I said, it just scratches that nostalgic itch too. That I was like, it, like I said, it reminded me of finding that gem in the pile of games. I was like, damn, but are you playing this?
All the
I know everyone's
name
playing.
games.
Yeah. The ones that no one like fucking cared about when everyone was playing like, you know, one of the Mario Brothers games. But like I said, your mom was like, I ain't paying that much money. You can get one of these over here. Okay, fine. You know? So
So
that's kind of what
it's been on PC for a while,
has
but
it?
so it must have only recently come out on the console. So
Yeah.
decent reviews too. So I fuck with it.
Yeah. Like I
That's
said,
cool.
it's worth the pickup, and especially like it's a good fuck around game too, where you're just like, you know what? I'm gonna play some shit. You know what? This would be the good palate cleanser game where it's like, I'm not working too hard on this game. I'm just out here doing shit, having fun. You know what? It's a good time. That's what this game is. This game is just a good time. It's great.
Currently on sale on the Switch for $16.99.
Yeah. And
So
then I use my coins, got it for less.
I do happen to have a few coins currently, so I think I do too. You're right.
Yeah.
So that might be it. Fuck yeah.
I'm telling you, it's good. How about you, Delvin? What you been playing, man?
All right. Here we go. Because
Motherfucker. He's about to say something dumb.
I can't tell. Well, I've been playing something dumb.
I wrote my notes. I was ready.
I promised I would tell the full story on play some video games.
Okay, I
But
don't care. Fuck them.
I will say what I'm playing.
All right.
I'm playing SpongeBob the Cosmic Chick, of course.
Okay.
And I'm playing Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, what do you think of Hogwarts?
I like it. So far,
Yeah.
it's really good. It's a really good, if you like Harry Potter and all that shit that Harry Potter does, it's a really good portrayal of that.
Because it's got really good like momentum behind it, even when it
I knew
first
it
came
seemed
out,
worth
and
to
then there was all
ask.
the public problematic elements of it.
Is this game about enslaving goblins?
I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
I'm not to that part yet, but I see the big bad guys like this big goblin. Not a big goblin. He's like this
So
badass guy. Pretty cool.
everything about this game has me like, I mean,
Yeah.
it's already transphobe J.K. Rowling and my trans child. So it's already like
Right.
that's one
Yeah.
strike. Two
Yeah. Yeah.
strikes is all of a sudden people of Jewish descent are like, yeah, y'all know that she was talking wild records about us when she was talking about them goblins, right?
Yeah,
The
the
coin counting
goblins.
goblins. I was
Yeah.
like, oh shit, no, I didn't know that. So
Yeah.
strike two. And I'm just like, I get it. I know you want to support game makers because it's not their fault. They
Right.
got such a fucked up
They
license,
got
you know
what
what I'm
they got what they
saying?
got.
But
Well, about that.
Okay.
If you haven't noticed, the game doesn't come out till the 10th, I think.
Right, that's what I was about to say. You're ahead of the curve right now.
Yeah.
You got that review, Juice?
No.
Oh,
Oh,
I
did you get
haven't.
the Dubai copy?
No. I'll tell the story and play some video games. It's a wild
Damn this
story.
motherfucker. J.K. Rowling give it to you?
No. Only thing
Damn.
she can give me is Dome.
He's
Don't even vote
all,
that.
I want that wildly aggressive racist dome. It's the best. He's all
Nah.
attack corncob style.
Fuck J.K. Rowling, man. Support
Straight
Trump.
down.
All
Fuck,
day, every
man.
day.
Yeah, straight up and down.
I guess I'll have to listen tomorrow so I can chime in.
That's
But
a wild story.
I think with that, I think that's a good place to put a pin in the episode. you know, we tried some new things this evening. We'll smooth it out even better for the next time. But man, thank you guys so much for joining us this evening. T, thank you for hopping in. Delvin, same to you. You guys are always good to cut up with. So for T, for Delvin, we out of here.
Peace. Peace.
Mama. Hmm. Mama.
What? Grandma's not here.
Grandma's not here. She's not here.